morning, church.
A lot of excited things happening, a lot of interactions leading. So aren't we not a just church who comes, sits, listens, goes back, isn't it? Right? So we are a church, we are really a family. We're always here. Whenever a guest comes to the family, the whole family welcomes them. So that's what we will be doing here as well. And then introducing them to another family, getting involved. So that I would like to let you know that after the service, we have the time of fellowship, so we can interact with each other and also the persons who have come to us this morning, joined us in as well. So it's great to hear what God is going to speak to us this morning. We've been worshiping in the aspect of wisdom of God. I believe that God's wisdom will be there in the words that we are going to hear this morning as well. So we've been going through the series of values. Yes. Or the book, something. Book of Acts. Yes. So we've been going through the series, like we've been studying from the book of Acts. We started from chapter 1. And we have landed up here today in the chapter 13. So we just titled this morning that we're going to listen is as the journey. The journey that is beginning on this chapter is what we are going to see about. So it talks about the first journey which Paul and Barnabas starts moving on from the place where they are and moving further. So I'd just like to read from Acts 13 verses 1 to 3. Now in the church of Antioch, there were prophets and teachers, Barnabas, Simeon called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, Mananin, who had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch and Saul. When they were worshipping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, "Set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them." So after they had fasted and prayed, they placed their hands on them and sent them off. So this is the chapter that begins the incident that is happening in the church of Antioch. So after Paul and Barnabas, they are returning from Jerusalem. Now they have been here for a quiet period of time. And now when they were ministering unto the Lord, the Holy Spirit said to them that, "Set apart for me Barnabas and Paul for the work that I have been called for them." So actually, if you see the series that you've been looking in, this is the place where the kind of a transition happening from where we have been focused on all this time. So I would like to read Acts chapter 1 verse 8. It says, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witness in Jerusalem and all in Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth as well." So far what we have seen, the things that are happening in Jerusalem, the things that are happening in Judea and Samaria and all the places around. But now on, we are going to see to an incident that is happening, as mentioned, to all the ends of the earth. So now it's being spreading on. The expansion of the kingdom is getting really expanded geographically as well to all the other places. We saw this end of chapter 12, as I say, they've been returning from there to here. And when we saw this, read these verses, there are a lot of personalities being mentioned over here. This church of Antioch is actually a church which is like a cosmopolitan. Like they had a group of multitude of people from different cultures, different races and different backgrounds. They had all these people. Even this team which we've been talking about is composed of many people. So it says like Saul and Barnabas were there. We have heard a lot about them. Saul is also called as Paul. And we also have Barnabas who is called Man of Encouragement. And so they were there. Along with them, there are three other names mentioned. Simeon, Lucius, and Manan. We'll see a little more about them, who they are. Simeon, who was also called as Niger. Since Niger means black, he was possibly a black African among the congregation of Antioch. And possibly the same Simeon who carried Jesus' cross as well. It's what the Bible scholars used to say, that this might be probably the same Simeon who was carrying the cross. So he is the person who was there in the team, who was from a different nation, different background altogether. And there is also this other person, Lucius of Cyrene. Again, he is also said that the city Cyrene is in the Roman province. Currently the nation which is being called as Libya, the north coast of Africa. So this person is from that particular place. And the interesting character is this person, Manan, who had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch. So this was the same Herod who was involved in the process of beheading John the Baptist, and also who was there during the trials of Jesus Christ as well. So it's so interesting, no? Like, there were two people growing up in the same way, growing together, but we see both of them in a different directions. One here in the team, where he is proclaiming about Jesus, where was the other one who was on the other side, putting Jesus into trials to do all the things, and even he was the one who was the reason for John to get beheaded as well. So there are like a lot of things similar to this even happens in our life as well. Like, you know, we would have so many people along with us in the journey of our life as we grow. There will be people who grow together with us. But, you know, over a period of time, that the directions we take and the other person takes will be different ways. But I feel that we are all in a place where, not like the Herod, but we are all in the place where like Manan has been. So amazing and interesting to see how the ways God has led us all through these days. So as we move forward, I would like to tell this, that, you know, the next verses 4 and 5, it says, the two of them, sent on their way by the Holy Spirit, went down to Seleucia and sailed from there to Cyprus. Then they arrived at Salamis. They proclaimed the word of God in the Jewish synagogue. John was with them as their helper. So it was something like this, the incident which has never been happened so far in the history, till this time this has happened. We have been seeing what has happened to Stephen. The persecution has been raised all over. And because of that, resulted what happened was people have been scattered among every places. It was like this, they've been moved. They went all around just to save their life. So people who went to different places are been there and doing ministries, been proclaiming about gospel and all the things are happening. But so far, there were no specific places which talks about people are being sent to share what the gospel is all about, or to say what God wants to share, or to tell the know all the ends of the earth about. So this is the first incident that is being recorded so far that is like Holy Spirit is like saying that, set them apart for the work which I've called them. So first time incident that is happening over here, and it's like so amazing, because so far everyone are bent, whereas now these people are being sent. So now that we see that they've been sent, as they sent out, it's like it talks about different regions where they are going on. So it would be better if we go through, just have a glimpse or a look of a map so that we can, you know, relate to it. So they've been in the place called Antioch, the first door, and then from there, they come down to a place called Jerusalem. So it's like this. I was thinking that when the Holy Spirit said to them, and then they all laid their hand upon them and they prayed, okay, you all go out and be sent now from the church, and also through the Holy Spirit. So they were coming out and they don't know, like, what are they going to do? They know for sure that they're going to share the gospel, but where are they going to go? There was no specific record which was told earlier where they are going to go. But we see that they come up to this place called Seleucia, which is a very close by from the place Antioch. It was not so far away. It was a seashore, a city which had the port. So they are coming to this city and they were talking about it. It was some, like, I was just assuming it, like Paul and Barnabas would have had a conversation, like, hey, where are we going to go now? I don't know, let's move further. Maybe we can go to Cyprus, because I have some people known from there who needs gospel. Because if you see in Acts chapter 4, verse 36 and 37, where Barnabas is being introduced to us, we know that he is a Levite coming from the place called Cyprus. So that's how somehow they decided that they are going to go to this island called Cyprus. So they take the boat, they sail all along, and they reach this place called Salamis. So that's again a port city. So they land over there and then they get into it and they move on to everywhere. And what are they doing it in that particular city is that they go on to the synagogues and they preach on every day as they've been doing all the place. So it was a custom over there those days that they all gather in the synagogue where the scripture would be read for them. And the moment the scripture is read and they see that there is any person who is like a scholar or a notable person who has visited them, they say, like, hey boss, do you want to speak up for us? Explain this, what the scripture meant for us. Or do you have any word of encouragement which will edify us? So they call up for the people, they see anyone who is notable. And remarkably, Paul and Barnabas are a very key notable persons on those days across everywhere, because we know who Paul was, what a kind of a scholar he is, what the qualification he was holding and everything. And even Barnabas, for that matter, he was also a Levite. So wherever they go to this synagogue and they get a chance to speak, and they've been preaching all the times over there. So it was not much of things been recorded what has happened exactly in this city, Salamis. But you know what, It also talks about another character being introduced over here. It's like John, who was helping them. It was not the disciple John. It was called as another person, John Mark. So it's again another person. We will be coming back to this person, reflecting on this character as well this morning. But I'd like to give you an introduction that this is the person who comes back and writes the Gospel of Mark. So this is the person who is now helping Barnabas and Saul from the time they were coming back from Jerusalem. You see, chapter 12 ends saying that John was also with them. And even here it witnesses that he is like John Mark is traveling along with them. And they've been moving on from places to place. So the island which we see, yes, so they are in the Salamis. And they've been traveling all the way through the island, through all the places. They go from synagogue to synagogue. They've been preaching everything and doing all these things happening over. And they come to this city called Paphos. It's so wonderful city to be said that, you know, like a place of chill out, where a lot of things are happening, which is of more of immoralities happening over there. The history says that the place was like, didn't had any kind of, you know, cultural thing that, you know, to keep a person in straight or in place. But it was having a lot of things happening over there, kind of a vacation place. And even the Rome were over there. And there was an incident happening in this city when they come to this Paphos. So we read through these verses what is happening over there. They traveled through the whole island until they came to Paphos. There they met a Jewish sorcerer and a false prophet named Bar Jesus, who was an attendant to the proconsul Sergius Paulus. The proconsul, an intelligent man, sent for Barnabas and Saul because he wanted to hear the word of God. But Elymas the sorcerer, for that is what his name means, opposed them and tried to turn the proconsul from the faith. Then Saul, who was also called Paul, filled with the Holy Spirit, looked straight at Elymas and said, "You are a child of the devil and an enemy of everything that is right. You are full of kinds of deceit and trickery. Will you never stop perverting the right ways of the Lord? Now the hand of the Lord is against you. You are going to be blind for a time, not even able to see the light of the sun." Immediately mist and darkness came over him, and he groped about, seeking someone to lead him by the hand. When the proconsul saw what had happened, he believed, for he was amazed at the teaching of the Lord. So it is so interesting, you know, to see what is happening. And I always like more about the way how Luke was writing it over here. So they say that, you know, there was a sorcerer, false prophet named Bar Jesus. So basically, he is a false prophet, and he is like against what these people are doing about proclaiming the gospel as. So he never wanted to address him again as Bar Jesus. So he says that, you know, what is the name of his meaning, name means? Elymas the sorcerer. So in the next verses, when he was introduced, he always keeps on writing that as Elymas, Elymas, Elymas. And even for that matter, about Saul as well. So overall, he was also called as Paul. So from here, the transition is happening. Saul was also called as Paul. So he was introducing the names in a way how it has been reached out to many people, which has been commonly known to everyone as well. So this incident talks about a proconsul who is there, and he has an attendant. As they've been preaching this from synagogue to synagogue, but for some point, this proconsul has come to know he is a person who is in high authority. It says this: all Roman provinces were divided into two classes, those that required troops and those that did not require troops. So those who do not require troops are being administrated by the Senate and ruled by the proconsuls. So the former, the one which needs the troops, were directly under the administration of the emperor. So this is what it says in the times of Roman. So this city which is there doesn't require any troops. So it says that this is being directly ruled by the proconsul. So basically, this person is someone who is actually in a higher authority at that particular point of time, who is ruling over the whole nation of Paphos. So it's like this: the pastor is preaching all over the churches, and directly the CM of that particular state wants to hear what is he preaching about. So it's like so amazing, you know, suddenly the door opens for that person, and then he goes directly into them. And Paul and Barnabas are going over there to meet this person who is in higher authority of the particular state where they are. So they go in, and there is some person who is in between blocking them or opposing them, whatever they are trying to say. And imagine the courage what he had for. He looked straight at him and he said, "You are a child of a devil and an enemy of everything." He was basically an attendant of the proconsul. It's like next to him, he is there like doing everything. But now he was speaking against to the person who was on the side of the ruler. So, and he says also this, will you never stop perverting the right ways of the Lord? Now the hand of the Lord is against you. You are going to be blind for a time, not even able to see the light of the sun. So he is struck with the blindness, and whatever he has said has happened as well. That's what we see in the next verse. So I was just going through like, why making him as a blind? There have been a lot of things which he would have told. But he says like you will go through blindness. And then you know, I just reminded about what happened to Paul back in Damascus, on the way to Damascus, right? He was struck with blindness. And then he had his encounter with the Lord saying that, why are you troubling me? And then that's where the transformation basically happened. So he felt that this person who's standing in front of me is similar to who I was before. So I had gone through this phase of blindness and that had made a transformation for me. Probably God may work in the same way even in this person's life as well. And then he was become blind. But the thing was that, you know, what has happened over there is the proconsul believed in the what has been preached and he accepted also. And also in the history and the archaeology were studying about it, it says that there's a person called Sir William Ramsay. He says, he reports that there are inscriptions bearing Sergius Paul's name have been found on Cyprus confirming that he was a Christian and his entire family became Christians. It was not just on this incident or just looking at this miracle this guy has accepted, but he had been consistently believing. Not only he, also his entire family has become Christian and they've been following Christ for the life. So that's what has been revealed as part of the history. So this morning, when we look at this particular incident, what is that it is going to talk to me from now? When we say this, so this is some picture of where Paul put to this guy, Elymas. So it says like, no, don't be a stumbling block. So are we being a stumbling block to someone from reaching out to the Lord? This morning, let's analyze in our life. Is there any other stumbling block? Probably we may not be the stumbling block, but there can be something which is there in between us which is not allowing us to see the Lord who is in front of us. It says, Romans 14:13, therefore let us stop passing judgment on one another. Instead, make up your mind not to put any stumbling block or obstacle in your brother's way. And even for that matter, 1 Corinthians 8:9. Be careful, however, that the exercise of your rights does not become a stumbling block to me. What we do maybe looks right to us, but for our fellow brothers, fellow sisters who is along with us in the journey, it might be a stumbling block for them. It might put them to their weakness. What is strong for us, maybe it might be weak for the other person. So, but in a journey that we are traveling this time, so I say that, you know, let's not be a stumbling block to anyone. Let there not be any stumbling block which comes in between to us, like this Elymas was there for the proconsul. When he has been set aside, we see that there was the acceptance happened and there was a great conversion happening in place. So this morning, what is it that, or how am I being be a stumbling block for anyone? We need to see that, you know, like there, it can be of anything like what we do from our nature, from a regular routine in this, in the place where we are, in our college, in our workplace, or for even in our homes. Certain things that we do may lead the other person who is like seeing us and following us, may pull them to down. So am I being a stumbling block? Or what am I? Or is there anywhere that is happening in my life as well? So we'll just reflect on that. But as we move on, the journey is continuing. They are moving on from place to place. So in the chapter, it continues to talk about that they are moving on from the city of Paphos to Perga. So now again, they started sailing back. So they've been ministering here. They did all these things. And now they are moving on from here to another city that they are moving up. So towards the city called Perga. As they've been moving on, so far there are a lot of ministries that has happened, but it was never registered for us that saying that there was a great multitude accepted Christ. Like how it was earlier. In one preaching, there were 5,000 people added to the church. One preaching, there were 3,000 people added to the church. There were a lot of, you know, records which have been there, but no such records have been shown over here at this point. But historically we see there were a lot of influences happened in that place. There are a lot of things changed the way they were. And we see the Christianity, the gospel has been preached to everyone and people have been saved in this particular city of impose a spell. So as they move on, it was saying like, you know, in chapter 13, verse 13, it says, from Paphos, Paul and his companions sailed to Perga in Pamphylia, where John left them to return to Jerusalem. So when I was reading this, so they were in a part of a journey. They're seeing a great transformation happen in the life of the proconsul. So happy, so excited. They spoke about all the things in the synagogue where everyone were accepted or like they were received. And now when they are moving on in the journey with an excitement to see what is next, what is kept next for me. But in between, there is something like this is happening. John left them to return to Jerusalem. The reason is not been mentioned over here, what it is, why he has left. There are like a lot of views or points saying that it's because of there was a dispute among them, or it was because of he was sick, or because he was like feeling alone and he wanted to be with his family, so he wanted to go back to his home. So all these reasons have been put up in a different view. But for any matter, I would like to tell that there was one person who's been left who was along with you in the journey so far. It always puts us to a place of, you know, kind of a discouragement or like, you know, kind of a distraction as well. It can be anything. When you have been going together, you have a friend along with you, but all of a sudden he says like, no, I'm not going to be with you anymore. It's all like, you know, kind of a distraction basically. But it says that even it can be, or a discouragement as well. But what it means is that we have to keep moving on further rather than sulking ourselves with what is the distraction happen or what is the discouragement happen to us. Not just sitting in the same place and then thinking about what has happened. Are you now, what am I going to do? What am I going to see? How am I going to move forward? For that matter, I would also like to remind you all this morning that, you know, when this beginning of this chapter that we saw, Paul and Barnabas have been set apart and they've been moving on. But you know what? These two are the key persons in the church of Antioch, the spokespersons of the church. So they've been leading this church, they've been telling everything to them, they've been teaching to everyone. So they are the main persons of that particular church. So now, God is saying, set them apart. So when there are like times where like people who are with us for a long time, but God may ask them, I have a separate calling for you. So take them out from the place where they are and use them in another place. But what it means is that we cannot get discouraged or we cannot sulk in that state saying, how are we going to move forward? What am I going to do without this person? So what I'd like to tell you this morning is that don't look at the person. Look at the one who has called you. Look at the one who has been set you apart for whose work we have been working. It can be anything in our family, or it can be even in our workplace, or it can be even in a ministry that we are in. So we would have been tagged with few people along in our journey, but when there are people who have been moving out, we do not want to get distracted from what we have been moving on or what we have been called for. But rather, I would say that keep moving further, because the one who has called you has not left you yet. The one who have chosen you, the one who have said to you that I'm going to use you for my purpose is still with us. That's a thing which I would like to say that this morning, that focus on him who has called us rather than the people who have been tagged along with us. They're all there for us to support us, to encourage us and to help us out. Yes, of course there is a loss, but I would say that, you know, don't look at that, but rather keep looking at the things what is being done. Can be any matter, not just only to be in the phases of ministry, even in our phases of a family, in our workplaces as well, where we've been tagged along, or for that, like even in the organization which we've been working for a long period, where we've been faithful, where we have done so many things. But there might be a day saying that, boss, you're done, you are no more part of this organization. But still, we will keep moving on further with another place, because we know that God who has called us is not yet left us. Still, it's not this person or it's not that resource that is there is what is more important, but what is more important to us this morning is that it is God who has called us. If our focus is, if our view is being set right on him, then I think like rather than sitting back, rather than sulking into these distractions, we would be able to get encouraged and move on the same way how Paul and Barnabas did over here. So that's what we see. So now they landed in this city of Perga, and they are like, great things are happening over here. It's a little longer chapter, so I'll quickly read through these verses from 14 to 37 of Acts chapter 13. From Perga, they went on to Pisidian Antioch on the Sabbath, they entered the synagogue and sat down. After the reading from the law and the prophets, the leaders of the synagogue sent word to them, saying, "Brothers, if you have a word of exhortation for the people, please speak." It was something like this. Like, I was thinking, when they go into synagogue, they knew for sure that they would be going to Paul. Paul and Barnabas would be having a conversation. Okay, it's going. They would call us. They are reading the scripture. Once the scripture is tell us. Generally, how we do. There would be a kind of a conversation. I just imagine that. And then, as they expected, it's coming up. But it was not the way they've been taking it for things. But you see how Paul responds back to her. He starts in 16. Standing up, Paul motioned with his hand and said, "Fellow Israelites and you Gentiles who worship God, listen to me. The God of the people of Israel chose our ancestors. He made the people prosper during their stay in Egypt. With mighty power, he led them out of that country. For about 40 years, he endured their contact in the wilderness. And he overthrew 7 nations in Canaan, giving their land to his people as their inheritance. All this took about 450 years. After this, God gave them judges until the time of Samuel, the prophet. Then the people asked for a king, and he gave them Saul, son of Kish, of the tribe of Benjamin, who ruled 40 years. After removing Saul, he made David the king. God testified concerning him, 'I have found David, son of Jesse, a man after my own heart. He will do everything I want him to do. From this man's descendant, God has brought to Israel the Savior Jesus, as he promised.' Before the coming of Jesus, John preached repentance and baptism to all the people of Israel. As John was completing his work, he said, 'Who do you suppose I am? I am not the one you are looking for, but there is one coming after me whose sandal is not worthy to untie. Fellow children of Abraham and you God-fearing Gentiles, it is to us that this message of salvation has been sent. The people of Jerusalem and their rulers did not recognize Jesus, yet in condemning him, they fulfilled the words of the prophets that they are read every Sabbath. Though they found no proper ground for a death sentence, they asked Pilate to have him executed. When they had climbed out that all that was written about him, they took him down from the cross and laid him in a tomb. But God raised him from the dead, and for many days he was seen by those who had traveled with him from Galilee to Jerusalem. They are now his witnesses to our people. We tell you the good news, what God has promised our ancestors. He has fulfilled for us, their children, by raising up Jesus. As it is written in the second Psalm, 'You are my son, today I have become your father.' God raised him from the dead so that he will never be subject to decay. As God has said, 'I will give you the holy and sure blessings promised to David.' So it is also stated elsewhere, 'You will not let your Holy One see decay.' Now, when David had served God's purpose in his own generation, he fell asleep. He was buried with his ancestors, and his body decayed. But the one whom God raised from the dead would see decay." What else I can explain in the sermon is that that's the good news that, you know, everywhere we climb into what we even believe in, right? A very simple, short message it seems, but very valuable, very valuable, which has a high value to it. So he has given a clear picture. So he is talking to this crowd. He knows whom he is talking to. So this morning he was like, always he was ready to grab this opportunity, because he knew he will definitely get an opportunity to speak in synagogue. So he was well prepared what he has to talk to them. It's like he starts with this, right? He is talking to them on what they knew and what they believe. So you see, he starts with them saying how our ancestors have started from Egypt and how they landed in this promised land again. So it's like basically it's been known to people. So he starts with their own conversation, which has been known to them, which they all agreed to it, which they all been aware of it. And then he slowly moves on from the history, like how the judges were there and how the king has come into picture and what did God promise to David. And then he's slowly introducing to them the good news, the gospel about Jesus. For that matter, he even talks about John the Baptist. He's not directly jumping into Jesus. He also talks about John the Baptist because they all knew that he was there. It was just quite some years back, right? Some 40 years back, the time like where John was there, like. So everybody knew that it was all existence there. There is a, like, they all knew it. So he talked about that, and then he comes on to them and then says about what Jesus has gone through and what he talked about, what is being prophesied as well. And then he gives them this thing. So when he was talking about this, he was like, very great to everyone to hear it. It was like a mix of people. Even here in the synagogue, we see there are Jews and also there are Gentiles from there. So everybody have been kept on reading the scriptures for longer these periods. So, but now, when it has been explained to them or put in a place where things and how what it is, so they were able to understand it and see that, yes, this is what it is. So he is the Messiah, and through him I'm getting this salvation. So they were able to accept, where they were able to believe in what is being said to them. So it's like, you know, always we have to be prepared. What is this like? You know, we have to be prepared, and we have to be ready to grab the opportunities that is being given to us. There would be a lot of chances in our daily life. It's not just so-called pastors or so-called person who is into the ministry is what will be sharing the gospel to everyone. But we, everyone who has been accepted and saved by Christ, has his responsibility of telling out what is this good news is about, who he is. We are not saying something which has not been there, but what we are saying is like, it's the truth. He comes to them, he puts up in this way, right? He talks to them, he tells them the truth, what has happened. And he makes them hear what they have heard, like acknowledge it. And then he makes them to see what is the truth as well, which was kind of hidden to them. Initially, he starts with the truth which they all knew, which they all have understood, which they all have heard and agreed upon. And slowly he reveals to them the things which has happened, but which was not being able to see what was the picture, why Jesus was crucified, why it was happened, why he has to die. It was not clear to them. So here he explains them or put it them in the way so that they will be able to see what the truth is all about. So it's like very easy for us to start with when we have a conversation, like to grab the opportunity and just to say it out to our people, like, you know, what is the truth? We are not going to, you know, exaggerate things. We are not going to add it here and there, like comics or like anything which is like a tale, which was not the reality, which was not the truth. But what we are saying is the truth. We will be able to have the courage and confidence to say out what is it all about. And I would also like to tell this, when he was ending up, he also says, what is this if you don't accept it as well? Therefore, my friends, I want you to know that through Jesus, the forgiveness of sins is proclaimed to you. Through him, everyone who believes is set free from every sin, the justification you were not able to obtain under the law of Moses. Take care. What the prophets have said does not happen to you. Look, you scoffers, wonder and perish, for I am going to do something in your day that you would never believe, even if someone told you. So he says about the praise of rejection as well. Basically, he is bringing the good news, but he also says, see, it's up to you whether to decide or not. We cannot make anyone, we cannot convert anyone to be a follower of Christ. It's not our job to make anyone to convert. It's all our job is to tell the truth. It will be that God will work in their lives. There will be this intervention happening inside them. They will be meeting the God, and that's when the true transformation will happen, which will stay with them, and they will know, yes, this is God. There is no one else like him. So this will happen only when God interacts with them. But when we do some kind of converts or like just tell them, do this, do that, but it will not be sustaining for a longer period. So it's like this. So he gives them, the choice is yours, but I will also tell you, if you don't choose the one which is the truth, what is going to happen? Perish. That the kind of a judgment which is going to happen over there, which they have read about in Habakkuk, like it was like very heavy price. It was given to us free of cost, but if you don't receive it, the price of rejection is very high, which you need to bear for life. So he puts that forward to them and makes them to the point of realization, make them to the point of conviction, saying that, okay, I will accept it. That is where it's actually happening. So all this point where Paul is preaching about, it's not just because Paul preached that things have happened or things have changed. What we see is God is always at work. That's what I want to say. God is always at work, irrespective of whatever situation that is happening around us, whatever whatever thing that is, we are seeing or we don't see, but we know that God is at work. From the same chapter 42 to 48, it says, as Paul and Barnabas were leaving the synagogue, people invited them to speak further about these things on the next Sabbath. The congregation was dismissed. Many of the Jews and devout converts to Judaism followed Paul and Barnabas, who talked with them and urged them to continue in the grace of God. On the next Sabbath, almost the whole city gathered to hear the word of the Lord. When the Jews saw the crowds, they were filled with jealousy. They began to contradict what Paul was saying and heaped abuse on him. Then Paul and Barnabas answered them boldly, "We had to speak the word of God to you first. Since you rejected and do not consider yourself worthy of eternal life, we now turn to the Gentiles, for this is what the Lord has commanded us. I have made you light for the Gentiles, that you may bring salvation to the ends of the earth." When the Gentiles heard this, they were glad and honored the word of the Lord and all who were appointed for eternal life. This is what it is. God is at work. When Paul was speaking over there, God is at work. He was working in the hearts of the people. As soon as he completes his conversation, or as soon as he completes his explanation, the word of encouragement which he was sharing with the people, we see the transformations happening then. They were inviting them, "Hey, why don't you be with us for also the next Sabbath? Just for a week more, please stay with us. And we will bring many of our friends as well." It says that the next Sabbath, almost the whole city gathered to hear the word of God. That's what it is like. The whole city comes to it. Because it's not just something false which we are seeing. It's not just something which is fake is being spoken about. It is something that is true, which everyone wants to know it as well. So it's being shared by the people who have heard it. They go out and tell the other one and then say, "Come on, next week we have these brothers. They will be going to speak to us." And they will be letting us know many more things about it. So people are very eager to know the truth. And we see that the work of God is happening in background, in the midst of their lives, in their hearts and things. So always our job is to say what we have to do, what we have been, what is the truth, what is the reality, fact. But God will make them understand. God will work in their lives, and the time will come where they will be able to, you know, face God person to person, and then they will be able to accept the God. So it's not our duty, it's not our responsibility to make anyone come, but our duty is to say what is the truth, and God is always at work. So there are, even still, when God is at work, we see there are a group of people, Jews, who've been opposing them, who are also actually supposed to be on their side, is what is on the other side. But irrespective of that, we see that everyone has accepted and honored the word of the Lord, and all who were appointed for eternal life has believed. So it is just that, no matter whatever comes, no matter whatever opposition, no matter whatever kind of a rejection we face, no matter whatever people may put in front of us, stop us, or doctors, whatever things, but God is always at work. Way how he was working in the time of Acts, in the place of this. I would just like to let you know that one thing, that this is the place, the Church of Galatians. So this is this province, is also called the city where he is talking about, the city in Antioch. It is also part of the Galatia overall. And this is the people whom Paul is writing back, the epistle which we read in our Bible, Galatians, we see. So where specifically talks to the group of Gentiles. So it all talks about them. So it's like we know, we see that it's clearly that all the Gentiles who were there have accepted God, and they were struggling with certain things, and Paul is writing to them to support them, to bring them to his faith, where they can withstand to what has been heard and what they've been believed in is what is true. So he has to do it to them. And now we know current this modern world, the city of Galatia is like everywhere where grown up to no extent that the gospel has reached to everywhere. So these particular places which we looked at, it's all like even today they will stand for these gospels. There are a lot of works happening in the island of Cyprus as well, also in the provinces of Galatia. So it's that when God's word will reach many places, no matter what their background was, but it all turns out that God will turn things in another way, and people will be able to grow in the way how they are, God wanted them to be. So all we have to do is that share the things, what is God like, our life stories. That's what God says. What matters more is our testimony, what matters more is our stories. when we say it's not just a story, it's our life, what we have really found, how we have been landed in the place where we are now. So that will really tell people how it has been. So be available for the call, for what God has been called you and you. So He has His own purpose for every one of us. He has kept it set right, and He has a specific plan for each one of us. Are we ready? Are we available for the God to work on? So let's think about it. And if not yet ready, then make this day and say to God that, Lord, I am available for you to work on. You can get used for the work that you have called on. And secondly, do not be a stumbling block. We've seen about that false prophet, sorcerer, who was being a stumbling block for the proconsul. So am I being a stumbling block to anyone this morning in my life? Or is there anything that is there as a stumbling block which I'm not able to overcome? We can ask to God, that God please help me out. Or if I am being a stumbling block to anyone, then I would say that, God please help me to not be any more such a block to anyone can see. Do not be discouraged or distracted. In the journey, it's always there where there will be a lot of ups and downs, where there will be a lot of things happening. People may leave, we may not be able to get the resources what we need, we may not be able to go to the place where we wanted to, or we may not be able to do what we wanted to. We may not be able to see the results at times, like how we saw about in the Salamis when they landed. They've been preaching all over the synagogues, but we don't know what has happened over there. But they've been keep moving on. So no matter about the results, but just allow God to work and move on will help us to see to it. So don't be get discouraged, but don't get distracted as well. And fourthly, it says about grab the opportunities. Paul was always being ready. That's the reason he was always there on synagogue. To talk to people, to tell them the gospel. So grab the opportunities, whatever the opportunity that we have in our workplaces, in our home, in our relatives, with our ladies, with our friends, with our circle, with the community, with the city, wherever we are. There will be each of us will be given some kind of opportunity. We don't have to get the stage of a church where we have 50 or 100 or thousands of people so that I can share the gospel. Even to one-on-one, like I can share the gospel. So where it is? Where is my opportunity kept for? Where is it? Whenever I see the opportunity, grab it and make use of it and see it, that I'm sharing what is the truth. Remember, God is always at work. We see the result or we don't see the result. But remember, God is always at work. So He is always in work. So things will surely change one time. Maybe we may be able to witness the results, but we may not be there. But the seeds that are sown will definitely be fruits. Whatever the fruits that we are seeing today, whatever things we are here, because of all the hard works which the lot of missionaries have done over the period of years in our country, where the gospel was brought in. You know all the stories. There are a lot of missionaries in different parts, how they've been struggling. They have not seen the results, but now you see the places wherever they went, there is the gospel. There are people. They are all the witnesses of the seeds that has been sown there. So never get discouraged when there is more result. But I would say, believe and remember that God is always at work. He will bring the seeds that is sown in life. It's not our duty to see the seeds are getting birth, but our job is to sow the seeds. So we'll do our job and God will do His job. The price of rejection. If we say no, either to God accepting Him, or even to stop saying, not able to share what we receive, there is this price which we have to pay. Be aware of it. It's like free of cost we are getting it from God. So let's receive it and let's not go on bearing the heavy price which we don't want to. So are we part of the team God has chosen? Are we ready to be set apart for His work which He has called us for? Are we there like the sorcerer being a stumbling block? Can we reach out to the influential people like the proconsul? Can we reach out to the people who is an influential position in our workplaces, in our community, in our society, in our city where we are? Do we have the courage and strong to speak to them? Are we a person of a distraction or discouragement, pulling others down from what they've been called for? Are we able to grab the opportunity that God has given to us? Do we believe God is really in work, irrespective of what we see or what we do? Are we able to believe? Where are we standing this morning? Let's analyze ourselves. Let's take a minute. Let's bow down our heads. Let's analyze where we are. What is it that God is speaking to every one of us? Believe surely that in one point of time, God is speaking to you, any of these characters, any of this point that you are thinking that, yes, this is where I am currently, but please take me from here and help me to move on. Therefore, my friends, I want you to know that through Jesus, forgiveness of sin is proclaimed to you. Through him, everyone who believes is set free from every sin. The justification you will not able to obtain from the Lord. It's only through him and him alone. We have this Jesus with us this morning. Let's look at him. Let's reflect on it.